Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Today I welcome Juliette Caraman, and Juliette is a certified mind and body coach, teacher, mentor, and writer on relationships, sex, intimacy, trauma, and healing. And decades of her experience with conscious sexuality and her ability to hold deep space has her clients regain confidence in their bodies, psyche, and relationship with themselves. And today, Juliette and I talk about communication. Obviously, we've had past shows on communication, and we can really never have enough because it's such an integral part of improving our lives, improving our relationships. And I really enjoyed the tools that Juliette gave for us. I really encourage you to listen and implement the conversational prompts that she shares as a way to connect more deeply with your partner and communicate better. We can all use as many tools as we can get. At least I know I can. And appreciate you guys so much for tuning in, for leaving those 5-star reviews on iTunes. If you have listened to this show, if you enjoy this show, just take a couple minutes. It really helps us out. If you go on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen and leave us a review, we really appreciate that. And I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Enjoy today's show. Hi, Juliette. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Cheers. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Today, we're going to talk about communication and how we can communicate more openly and lovingly with our partners. And obviously, as I discussed with you in the pre-show, we've covered communication quite a bit on this podcast, but it really can never be covered too much. And I always love hearing different experts' approach. And it could be something super subtle and different, but that can make all the difference for an individual listening in their relationship. So let's start with having you tell our listeners why you love talking about communication, helping people improve it, and then we'll talk about how we can do it.
For me, communication is really key to any relationship. I mean, if we even look at this ourselves, how we communicate with ourselves, right? That really, it just completely transforms how we think about ourselves if we look at the communication. And then communications with others. And so often we think we know what the other people, what the other person is meaning, and we don't stay curious and we just automatically assume that this is what they're saying. And then we get hurt, feelings get involved, we close off. And then if you actually stay curious and ask, hey, what did you mean there? You find out that maybe it was something completely different and it actually brought you much closer together than pushing you apart.
Staying curious is such a valuable approach because I feel like personally it helps me avoid reacting, you know, instead it allows me to respond better. If I can be like, if someone says something that if I'm not curious, I'm just immediately responding or defending myself instead of, like you said, like, well, what do you mean by that? Asking a question, just doing that can be so valuable in improving communication.
Completely. And often, you know, when we have understood something, it could have triggered something in us. You know, a lot of us have had traumatic experiences, something that happened too soon, too quick for the mind and body to process. So we might be in a trigger. So what I keep telling my peeps is like, okay, if you realize that you're actually something is getting triggered in you, you know, just take a breath. And you might need to just say, hey, I'm noticing I need to take a breath for a moment. I need to just kind of like, there's some contraction happening in my body. I'm not quite sure what happened, but I'm feeling a bit triggered. So I'm going to just excuse myself from the conversation just for a moment. I'll be here with you, but energetically, I'm just going to take care of me. And then you can come back and kind of like work on your breathing, notice what's happening in your body, perhaps, you know, think what the thought is. And then get rid of that content, that trigger. And then it's like, oh, okay, I noticed this brought this up in me. What did you mean with that? Because I'm sure I might be reacting in a way that might not have been your intention. So can I, you know, ask you a bit more?
I want to emphasize what you just said of just taking a breath and literally saying to your partner, hey, I'm feeling a bit triggered. I need a moment. I mean, that alone can also be so valuable, is taking time away from the conversation. I think we think of communication as active, right? Like what we need to say, how we need to say it. And obviously there's a lot of important things there, but I found it's almost the absence of communication within a conversation that can be so valuable. Of if I'm feeling triggered, to say, hey, communicating that to my partner, I just need a second, taking some breaths, taking a walk can be super valuable. Telling your partner, hey, can we come back to this in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or maybe it's later tomorrow. In the day. Yeah, tomorrow. That is also such a valuable tool.
Completely. And just what you were pointing to, the coming back to a conversation. It's, you know, often the point is really, what do we want to achieve with conversation, right? What we want to make a communication. We want to be understood. We want to be loved. We want to be cherished. But most of all, we want to be understood. And it doesn't mean that the other person has to agree with us. And they can have their triggers. They can have their responses. And the beauty is to really start factoring this in. And sometimes all you can say to a communication is, thank you. Yeah, it's like, okay. Thank you. I've received your communication, and that's it. And then often your partner will look at you as like, aren't you going to go into it? And I'm like, no, I've received your communication, but that's all I have bandwidth for. And this is what I notice so often in couples, that one person will come, say the wife will come to the husband, and just, you know, he's on his computer working, and she just goes and vents. And what I've been teaching my clients is like, hey, go to your, you know, if that's what you need to vent, you need to just let off some steam, go to your partner and say, hey, do you have bandwidth for this? Do you have attention for this? Because we all want attention. Like, I need to vent for about 7 minutes. I don't need 100% of your attention, but I don't want you to fix me either, but I just need to get it off my chest. Do you have time for it now? And then that person can just kind of check in. It's like, yes, I do have time now, or no, what about tonight at 7 o'clock, or tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning when we go for a walk with the, you know, with the dogs, whatever. But it really gives both partners an ability to check in with, when would it be good to have a communication or to have a venting session.
You said there in your example, saying, I don't need you to fix it, in preempting the communication with that. I think that's also so valuable. But I also have some questions around that, of going to your partner and saying what it is that you need. It's like, hey, I'm really stressed out. I just need to vent to you for a little bit. And in that, it's implied like, I don't want your opinion on the situation. Is that appropriate and healthy? And how can we kind of communicate, understand what it is that we need and communicate it? Another example could be, hey, I'm really struggling with this thing at work and I need your support.
You hold space for me. Can you just let me vent and hold space for me? Because you can feel when someone energetically holds space for you, right? And it's, but like you said, the don't fix me is why I put that in. It's because oftentimes that's what we try to do. We try to fix it. We try to make it better, because that's patterns that we've learned from childhood, right? When we fall, you know, your mother will kiss your knee better where you had an ouchie. So it's just kind of ingrained in us that we try to make it better. We try to make the pain go away. Well, it's actually, now I want you to hold space for me so I can be in my totality. I can have all my emotions blow up and not directed at you, but yeah, knowing that I'm in a place that this is safe to do.
What would you say to someone who is in, let's say, a negative cycle? It's like, we just want to be understood and we'll communicate something, but it doesn't seem like it's getting through to our partner. Maybe they're trying to fix it, or it feels like taking the side of the other person and not supporting you. What are some of the things that we could communicate clearly around that? And within that, something I struggle with the answer to, of like, how do we distinguish the line between like, our partner is who they are and not demanding them to respond in the way that that we want, if that makes sense.
Right? Part of us is like, I just want you dancing like I want you dancing.
Right?
It doesn't always work like that. So I think really like love them in their full totality of who they are. And what I love to do with my partner, what I teach my clients is sometimes to take 20 minutes together and really block that out, put the phones away, everything, and then have a dyad. So have one or two prompts that you keep repeating to each other. And like one of them could be, tell me what you love about me. And then partner A responds. Partner B just says, thank you. You know, it's not to go into more chat. It's actually just to listen and to receive their communication. And then they switch. And what happens after about 20 minutes of or 15 minutes of the same prompt, instead of surface swimming, you actually go really, really deep. And so you've brought everything which is on the inside out, you know, on a platter. It's like, hey, these are all my feelings about you. I like to do, tell me what you love about me. Tell me what you desire in our relationship and tell me what you're afraid of. And those three prompts, if you do 20 minutes back and forth, it will bring you much closer together and it opens the bridge of communication because you've received the communication from each other. And if a partner goes on too long, blah, 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 you say, hey, can you summarize that? And it's actually really kind to do that because then they summarize their answer and it also becomes more clear in their head what they're trying to get across. And the thank you is really important because it really validates like, hey, I've understood you. And if you haven't understood, it's like, clarify that. So they're just a few little, it's, you know, I'm quite strict with it, but especially when I first get people used to it, but it's just such a game changer.
It's so valuable to start a conversation with the positive. Like you say, what is it that you love about me? You know, we could be talking about an issue that you need to bring up with your partner. Maybe there's some negative pattern that you want to bring up. And starting with saying, hey, do you have the space and time? Is now a good time to have a conversation? And then rather than launching into, you know, this, and this is bothering me, it's great to start with, like, you know, I love that you took out the trash today and you've really been present with the kids lately. And I just want to tell you that I appreciate that. And then kind of bringing the next part of the need request up, it's such a valuable thing.
Completely. And also when people are in a bit of conflict, I have them put a time limit on it. Saying, yes, we're going to discuss this, but for 10 minutes only or 15 or however long it is. And then let's take a break. And then you know, maybe we reassess, see if it still needs to be discussed or if we can come back to it tomorrow with fresh eyes.
How often do you encourage couples to do the prompt with the, what do you love about me? What do you desire? And what are you afraid of?
Well, it's really funny. So I have my clients do date morning or date afternoon, and that is once a week. So I'll give them versions of that. I don't think you can do it often enough. Even if you just make 10 minutes of time of doing that, it puts you in such an intimate space. And you can even do this with your coworkers or someone, you know, your children, and in the supper tent. Time, you know, in the table, I will say to my kids, instead of saying, tell me what you love about me, I'll just say, this is what I love about you. And I go around the whole table like that. And I've got four kids. And then I'll say, this is what I desire for this meal and or, you know, for our family. And this is what I'm afraid of. And then I'll get each and every one of them to do the same. And then the dinner conversation is so much different than if we hadn't done anything.
That's really great. I love bringing that into the family setting as well. And it made me think of the famous 36 questions to fall in love. Are you familiar with that?
I don't know if I know all 36, but yeah. I know a few of them.
But basically, I think it was published in the New York Times years ago, and there's obviously lots of different variations, but basically the questions kind of center around just that. Like, what do you love about the other person that you're asking these questions, or you're discovering these things? What do you desire, like, in life, and what are things you're afraid of? Like, those kind of questions bring people closer. That's why, you know, they say 36 to fall in love, because they kind of center around those things of being vulnerable, expressing yourself, and getting to know someone more intimately. And if you're doing this with a partner in the setting of trying to communicate better, it's going to open each of you up to more empathy and a more deeper understanding, rather than arguing about, you know, who did the dishes or not.
Right, because your brain can't really stay in two states at the same time, right? Be angry and be vulnerable, and then joyful and actually loving. And that's the beauty of it, where you can just take away the charge of maybe an argument building by connecting first.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Sometimes it's hard to get in the mood. We've all been there. You're super excited and ready, but all you can think about is what to make the family for dinner or preparing for a work meeting. Basically, your mind is on anything but sex. These feelings and thoughts can make it hard to shift gears and get in the mood. Take a step out of your mind with Dipsy, and you can focus on what makes you feel good. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and characters, no matter what you're into or what turns you on. Find stories about that intriguing coworker with a British accent or hooking up with your hot fitness teacher. Hear the sexy voices of ER Fightmaster and Luke Cook and many other stories like you've never heard before. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can also find something new to explore. Dipsy also has sleep stories, wellness sessions, and now they also offer written stories. It's your go-to place to spice up your me time, explore your fantasies, or heat up things with a partner. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/I do. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/I do. dipsystories.com/I do. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Do you ever feel stuck on a problem and it's just debilitating? It can be so easy to fall into the trap of focusing on the same problem again and again instead of finding a solution. It's also a really understandable and human reaction. When faced with a challenge in life, it can be tough to train our brain to stay in problem-solving mode. I always used to ruminate on problems, but when I started in therapy, I learned how to be solution-oriented instead. I realize there's no better feeling. It's so empowering. However, getting to that point can take some work, and the path isn't always clear. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small. So if you're feeling stuck, whether it's depression or figuring out how to navigate a family or work dynamic, I recommend giving therapy a try. BetterHelp is a great place to start. You'll get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists at any time. It's entirely online, so you can do it anywhere, anytime that's convenient for you. Plus, I love that it's affordable, making it accessible for all. Check it out yourself. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can help you get there. Visit betterhelp.com/I do today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/I do. BetterHelp.com/I do.
Are there any other great hacks like that that you can suggest, like prompts that you like?
Yes. There's another one which I think is really beautiful. Tell me what you think we agree upon, and then tell me what I need to understand about you.
And that first one was what we agree upon?
Yeah. Tell me what you think we agree upon. What are our common interests? Yeah. We're both think it's very important that people that are around us feel comfortable, feel safe, feel like they can express themselves, things like that.
That's a great one to just bring up. You know, tell me what I need to understand about you on a Friday after the work week. And maybe that allows the space for the partner to be vulnerable. It's also like encouraging people to tap into their own emotions and share.
Completely. And that's it, right? And that's why just spending a few minutes a day or a few minutes, 15 minutes a week, being really conscious about your communication and being vulnerable, it then transfers the whole energy where we might have been in a fight or we might have thought, oh, our partner doesn't love us. And then by being vulnerable, it's like, oh, we create that empathy. It's like, oh, me too. I felt that too.
What are some common mistakes or issues that you come across with your clients when it comes to communication?
First of all, they talk when they're triggered, when they're in their activation, right? When they're angry. So that's never a good starting point. And then there's a lot of finger blaming, and I call it the you always or you never. And comparing your partner, your kids to others. It's like, they always do this. So it's you never, you always, they never, they always. And when it starts like that, instead of saying, when you responded to me in this way, I felt unheard and I made up a story that you didn't love me. And if you come from the I perspective, it's much more, it's you're making it about you. It's like, hey, these were my feelings that happened when you made that communication, not like you always respond to me in this way, or, you know, when you did that, I got hurt. But instead saying, hey, you know, when you made that communication, I made up some story that you didn't love me, so my emotions got hurt.
I love that. It's so valuable to get your partner to not be on the defensive. Because of course, if you go at someone with you this and you that, and you're always, I mean,
right.
It doesn't mean we have to respond defensively. In fact, you know, the higher self would not, but it's certainly hard not to if someone is coming at you blaming. So if you're going to your partner wanting to have a productive conversation, and again, going from the I perspective, it's going to help us tap into what it is we're feeling, but even looking under that of why are we feeling that? Because it's one thing to communicate it, but I think it's also important to not just be blurting out like, I feel hurt when you do this, as soon as you feel that, without maybe checking in if like, well, why is that triggering you?
Completely, right? And that's often it. It's like, oh, when you responded in that way, it had me go back to when I was 6 years old. My dad, you know, screamed at me because I had dropped a bottle of wine or something. And it actually just takes you back into that moment and you become a little one who then is like, whoa, yeah, this is scary. So if you can, once you're out of that, if you can communicate that to your partner, it's beautiful. I had my partner come up behind me. Alex came up behind me and he noticed that I stiffened up completely. I completely froze. And he was right behind he was almost touching me. And I noticed that he immediately thought, like, oh, she's rejecting me. You know, I've done something wrong. And I was conscious enough to say, hey, please stay. I want you to stay there, but I just want you to notice you've seen my body freeze. So my uncle used to do this before. You know, he would touch me inappropriately. So my body is still responding to that. Can you please just stay in it and not touch me, but stay there? I can feel your presence and I know that you're there. And yeah, it took, I don't know, maybe 90 seconds to move through it. And then it was fine. And then, great, now can you touch my shoulders so I can actually feel that it's you? But to be conscious enough and to actually be able to communicate that, and also for the other to receive it, that's where the beauty is.
Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, it's a great example of how, you know, often in relationships, there's lots going on, right? Individually and between two people, in that there can be all of our history coming in to our interactions from each side, and having awareness of ourselves and then being able to communicate that with our partner, because that situation could go a lot of different ways, like the one you mentioned. You know, you could yell at your partner and then it turns into a shouting match, or, you know, why would you do that? And, you know, and we have these operating systems and that we learn from our parents, or we're not really taught how to show up in relationships. We're just going off of the models that we see in our lives, and often they're not healthy ones. So that's why I love talking to people like yourself to get the tools, to get the exercises, to take these questions. You know, I'm scribbling down these notes and I like to revisit these questions like a prompt. It's a tool, it's an aid to bring into our relationships, because we need these things. We're not just intrinsically born with them in our back pocket. I mean, maybe some people, if they're very lucky, but taking these things, and I encourage our listeners to do that exercise with the, what do you love about me? What do you desire? What are you afraid of? It's such a valuable way to build better communication, but just to connect with your partner.
Completely. And honestly, that's what we all want. We all want connection. We all want love. And we forget, because we kind of get stuck in a rut, right? You're together, you either get married or not, doesn't matter. But, you know, you build a life together, and then life happens, and it's the jobs and perhaps the children and the this and the that. There's so many stressors that unless you make conscious time for you as a couple, that just kind of goes awry. Yeah. And then, I mean, I've had three couples, who've been married for over 30 years and haven't had sex the last 23 years. And they're like, yeah, because we're not really, if we can't even communicate, then you can't even, you know, there's no way that we can touch each other. And which was really sad. And then once they started using these communication tools, I always took sex straight off the table. I said, not allowed to have any, but you have to do these communication tools. And then they'd come back with homework and they're like, well, actually, you know, you said sex off the table after these communication tools for 2 weeks. You know, the first thing that we really wanted to do is actually touch each other again.
Oh, that's great.
It's really what builds the intimacy again.
Yes. And another thing that we'll link to is the 36 questions. It's more in depth. It's a great date night tool. But like I said, it's really the simpler version are the three questions that you provided. And then if you want to do longer and more detailed, that's valuable as well. So thank you so much for bringing that up. And like I said, I really want to encourage our listeners to, it's one thing to listen to this and you can make the change. You can start communicating differently yourself, but try sharing this podcast with your partner. Try saying, hey, like, I heard these questions. Let's do them tonight, or let's do them tomorrow, or whenever you have some space, I'd love to do that. And you'll be amazed at how that can diffuse, you know, tension. It can bring you closer. You can start to understand each other better. And once you start exercising that muscle, it takes continuous practice, but it's like this couple for 23 years or whatever, like you just settle into these ruts and nothing's going to change. So really being actionable is super valuable.
Completely. And that's what it needs. It just, I mean, actually to change a relationship, it needs one person to really want to change. And it doesn't always need both of them, but if the one person changes and the other person is going to notice the impact, it's like, whoa, okay, this feels good. I want to be with this person who's now changing and asking me these questions and really being intrigued and being curious. Continue to be curious about your partner. You know, ask about what they loved as a kid. All of a sudden, you'll get to know new things. Even after being 30 years together, you'll be like, whoa, I never knew that you liked flying kites or wild water rafting. And then that gives you an idea for a date morning or a date day.
Yes, I love it. Well, Juliet, thank you so much for sharing all this great stuff with us today. Before we wrap up, are there any things that we skipped over or maybe you want to emphasize? And then if you could tell our listeners where they could find you online, and then we'll say goodbye.
Great. No, I think we've covered enough for today. It's stay curious. Ask if the other person has the bandwidth to discuss, to have a communication. Also, I would be in the beginning, just time it, put a timer on saying, hey, listen, we have a time container of 15 minutes, we're going to do this. And then afterwards, we don't talk about it anymore. Because then the mind can also realize, we then know what, you know, that this is not going to go on for 5 hours. Because that's one of the things that people can sometimes rehash and rehash and rehash. So those are my biggest thing, takeaways. And then do those communication tools. Like, tell me what you love about me. What do you desire for us, for our relationship? Matt, what are you afraid of? What do you want me to know about you? What do you think that we agree upon? And all these things kind of build you also forward to, like, oh, what do we want to create together? So for this and much more, I'm on Instagram and on Facebook, Juliet, French spelling with double T-E, Karaman, K-A-R-A-M-A-N. And my website is feelfullyyou.com, feelfullyyou.com. And there are loads of free resources there. And I'm giving more and more classes. So there's always something to learn there. I do a lot of meditation, a lot of hypnotherapy as well.
Well, thank you so much, Juliet. We'll have those links in our show notes and on our website at idopodcast.com. And thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day happy couple challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.